So our text today is from the book of James, James chapter 2, 14 to 17. I read from NLT. It says, "What good is it, there, brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" 15 says, "Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself is not enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." Praise the Lord. So think about that scripture. You know, I mean, if you're a part of this, if you're a member in this church, I think the only way that you don't understand faith is because you have chosen not to listen. Or you have, or maybe you've been absent at a lot of the Thursday Bible studies, or even the Sunday teachings, or the Life Center. You know, because, but to the glory of God, faith is something that has been taught us very well in this church. It is, I mean, I'm so, every time I marvel about when I joined this church many years ago, you know, I was born again when I was 13. I was in high school. I was in boarding school in Nigeria. And to be honest, the reality of the faith into which I had received, it did not come true for many years. Why? Because I wasn't grounded in the knowledge of the truth. I was hearing the word, but then again, it was not clicking. And by the grace of God, my husband and I, we stepped into this church and the light came on. And I'm sure that a lot of us in this church also have the same story. The light came on. And then it just occurred to me that, wow, so what were we doing? What was I doing all those years that I had been saved? I mean, I was serving. I was in the choir. I was an usher, you know? I was an usher. I did a whole bunch of things. All God, I had the privilege to serve God in so many ways. And I'm still serving to the grace of his glory. That's why we have to acknowledge him, the grace giver. He gives us grace to serve. He looks at us, no matter how we may even think we are in ourselves, what he does is that he removes all those things that hold us back, all those limitations that hold us back. He takes care of the sin, he takes care of the condemnation, and he prepares us ready and able to do the work. Praise the Lord. So that's what God does for us. God puts us in a position whereby we are redeemed. We are in a place to overcome. And as soon as we know who we are as children of God and we believe it, then we can, and then we understand God's love for us and God's love for the world, it really should change our thinking. The same way when I walked in this church, I had a new understanding of who I was in Christ Jesus. It came alive in my eyes. Do you understand? Like a light switch came on. And all of a sudden, it was almost like I was just getting born again. Despite all those years. But there are no wasted years. Why? Because God has a design for my life like he has for yours. Very individual design. I mean, and his purpose for us, the Bible says, is for good and not for evil. Praise the Lord. So again, when that light switch goes on, then we find ourselves whereby now you are trying to say, who did I surrender to? Did I surrender to myself or did I surrender to God? You start to ask yourself, you know, and then you start to also grow because the light switches on and you start to grow. And by the grace of God, I realized over the years that I have grown because of the light of the word of God coming forth from this church. And I'm sure many of us were growing as well and have grown as well. But then I realized that one of the key ways in which we grow is by serving people. You know, this our God, he is not fed up of people. He's not an introvert. He loves people no matter what the walk of life you may be coming from. No matter what your previous experience was before you got saved, the love of God, you know, it supersedes everything. And the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from his love. He said, if you want, go to the depths of the earth and God will still keep loving you. He will still keep pursuing us. Praise the Lord. And he tells us that in his word. Let's read Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Can we have it up very quickly? Let's read it together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Praise God. So what's that scripture telling us? That when we are born again, you're not born again unto yourself. You are created for good works. What are those good works? There are specific things that God has mapped out just for you to do based on your understanding of his word, based on the ability he has given you that only you can do for your generation, for this time, for this place. Praise the Lord. Think about it. I'll give an example. Think about somebody like Joyce Meyer. She, I don't know how many of you are familiar with her. She's a minister of the word of God. She was sexually abused by her father for a long time, you know, and she grew up a wounded soul, wounded emotionally, and, you know, damaged and broken. You know, the enemy at that point would have told her that she's not good for anything. But you know what? God created her for good works. Those good works, she's able to deliver and minister life to people based on the word of God for emotional healing today. I don't know how many of you have listened to our teachings and you see the depth of emotional healing. The same way with you and I. I don't know what your history is. I don't know what pain you had in your childhood or even as you were growing up. But this, our God, as he redeems us and he takes those things that are familiar to us and he carves them out for those good works. And then he gives us a place within the local assembly. One of the places is Warfare Ministry. Of course, I'm going to say that. That's our ministry. Praise God. There are many other places. There are many other ministries as well. There's dance and drama ministry. There's the youth ministry. There are so many areas where. Why? Because God expects you and I to function in the capacity that he had in mind for us. You know, the same God that knows us. The Bible says, before we were born, he knew us. So how much more this God, the master designer, the master planner, you know, you think you have somebody who knows how to forecast. How much more the God that knows the end from the beginning? He knows every circumstance you will go through. He knows how every day of your life will lay out. And alone, he says, you know what? Come alongside of me. Regardless of that life, live a life that is open to me. Serve me with all your heart. Hold nothing back. It's not your money, it's God's money. It's not your time, it's God's time. Those children, they're not your children, they are God's children. All he did, he put us, you and I, as stewards. And he said, you know what? Here you go. Go forth, do the work. Praise the Lord. So when, just like a potter makes a clay pot to hold water, that's how we are with God. God has put us together. He has. Part of why we are here and alive today is to serve him and to bring glory to him. None of us is supposed to sit in the stands and watch the game of life just pass by. You know, the game of life is playing every day, right? But God expects us, you and I, to get in the game, do something, make a contribution. I don't care whether you are 5, whether you are 10, whether you are 20, whether you are 90. God is asking you and I to be functional. Don't just sit in the church day in, day out. Come to collect the word and go back home. No, 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 no. That word, that seed of the word, it had a harvest that God intended. And that's why that seed of the word goes forth every time the word is preached. Praise the Lord. So think about it again. If you send somebody on an errand, I remember when I was in boarding school. Oh, my God. You know, someone is saying, go and tell someone to go and collect arodon. When somebody sends you and he gives you a strange word, the whole point of it is to get you running in circles the whole day. Because the other person that you are going to understands that arodon, it doesn't mean anything. What it means is that let's just waste the time of this girl. So you end up going from A to B to C to D. So that you will go in circles and you could be running an errand for 4 hours. That's a waste of time. My prayer is that none of us never get to that place whereby we waste our time. Why? Because we're striving with God. You know, we're holding on to our money. We're holding on to our time. We're holding on to our wisdom. Why? Because, sometimes we feel like we're wiser than God. But the Bible tells us that, look, when we surrender to Jesus, there comes a place whereby you say to yourself, nothing is mine anymore. Nothing. In fact, what is the point of living a life if the life is not lived to please this God? What is yours that you were not given? Think about it. He's the source of it all. You know, I said before, that any source of goodness. You may think that you are good. No, it's God that's good in you. You may think that you're a wonderful person. Oh, no. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. None of us. So because of that, that's what God does. God says, you know what? I'm going to fully equip you, whereby you just come, you show up at the table. You don't need your knife. God will supply it. You don't need your fork. God will supply it. You don't need your plate. He's going to supply it. You don't even need to worry about the markets. Who is going to buy food for the market? Because God is also going to supply it. You don't need who is going to prepare the food. God is going to supply that too. All you need to do is to be present. Be present. And what will God do? He will dress you. He will take care of you. He will make sure you are born into the right family, in the family of God. Like I said to my husband, we had that conversation. I said, I don't know where we will be outside of the family of God. But that's what God does. He brings us and he surrounds us and he makes available to us everything that we need to succeed and to live a life that will give him glory. That's what God does for us. Praise God. So God expects us to serve and he equips us to serve. You know, you won't ask a child to go to come and play the piano. They don't know anything now. They're not fit to, they can't give what they don't have. But God is telling us, I have given you a lot, and he has made available to us a lot, so that when we serve, we are able to serve. We are trained to serve. The Holy Spirit is within us, and we can just serve. Why? Because we are fully equipped. Praise God. So because of what Jesus has done, and because we are fully equipped, and we are supplied in every area, how are we supplied? We're going to look at just two areas in which we're supplied, two ways that God has taken, equipped us to serve. God does not expect us to give what we don't have. He expects us to give what we do have. So it's important that we understand, what do we really have? How has God equipped us? You know, let's read a scripture, 2 Peter 1:3 from the Amplified Version. 2 Peter 1:3. Do we have it? All right, let's read the New Living Translation if you don't have it. We'll read what you have. Let's read it together. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. Praise the Lord. The Amplified Version says, his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness. Through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Praise the Lord. So God is telling you, look, I've already everything that you need to succeed as a Christian and to live a life of victory. I have already made it available for you. That's what that scripture is telling us. But what happens is that sometimes when we do not know what we have been given, and also, when we do not accept what Jesus has done for us through his death and his resurrection, and then we stand to serve, how can you really expect to do a good job? You can't really serve well the way that he proposed for you to serve. You know? So that's why it's important for us to understand, what has God given us to serve? And he has already made the provision, right? So how can I make sure I understand that? And I execute perfectly. Praise the Lord. So that's why it's important we know, how has God equipped us? God has equipped us in so many ways. But I'm just going to narrow it down to two key ways that he has equipped us. Praise the Lord. One of the ways that God has equipped us, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. One of the ways God has equipped us is that God has given us his gift of righteousness. So what is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. You know, when you have right standing with your parents, nothing holds you back from calling them anytime. You know, as a kid, if you had done something wrong and your father came home and mommy told him that, look, oh, this is what so-so-so person did, you know, you hide out in your room. You won't be right available for the punishment because you know it's coming. And that right standing is not always there. But, you know, our Heavenly Father, he gives us a promise that, look, you have my righteousness. Let's read our scriptures together. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. That's what the word of God is telling us. The word of God is telling us that Jesus, who knew no sin, he became sin for us. He took our place so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think about it now. You are standing and you are guilty of a sin. And somebody comes and says, you know what? I will take your place. You are guilty of a sin. You know, the Bible says we are conceived in sin. And somebody comes and says, you know what? I will take his place. On top of it, not just take his place. I will give him my own righteousness. And, you know, life becomes easier because that way we don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to be hypocritical. We don't have to put on an act anymore. Why? Because it's all Jesus' righteousness. We bring nothing to the table. Do you understand? No matter, even if I gave all I had to the poor, you know, that will still not count because it's the righteousness of Jesus that enables you and I to serve. Do you understand? Even if I stand there and I say I've been born again 100 years, it's the righteousness of Jesus that makes us able to stand without guilt, without shame, without condemnation, you know, so that way there's nothing hanging over your head anymore. That we have that free gift of forgiveness. Now, on top of it, we have this free gift of righteousness. So because of that, we're able to stand as Jesus stood, you know. And, you know, because when I was at a point during my Bible study, you know, every time I see the scripture say something about perfect, I will wonder to myself, how can I ever attain that? Do you ask yourself that question? You know, there's a scripture that says that God is looking for the hearts of those who are perfect towards him. And I will always ask myself, how can I attain that? You and I can attain that. Why? Because we have the righteousness of Jesus upon us. Because we are conscious of that, we are perfect in every way that God created us to be. Amen. And the sooner we accept that, that way we are free to serve. You won't stand here and think, oh, I don't know, I messed up the other day, so I'm not worthy. There's no issue of worthlessness anymore. Because for our worthlessness, Jesus gave us his own worth. He gave us his own righteousness. So because of that, we can minister freely. You can go and minister the word without guilt or condemnation. You can go because your past is forgiven. Somebody became sin for you. He took on that sinful nature. He gave you his own nature that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So every time God is looking at you and I, he's seeing Jesus. So that way, no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, I'm free. The debt is fully paid. I owe nothing anymore. Praise the Lord. So because of that, the doors are all closed. There's no open door for the devil. The only way that there will be an open door is if I reject the righteousness of Jesus and I put on my own good works for display. That's what our pastor has been preaching about in the last couple months. Praise the Lord. So that's what happens. As soon as we don't accept the righteousness that Jesus made available to us, we open the door for the enemy to constantly accuse us of wrongdoing or to constantly bring up our past before us. Oh, because you did this, this is why this is not happening. Oh, no, the righteousness of God took care of that. But the sooner you know that, the sooner you can declare to the enemy. A lot of times the enemy will come with thoughts and remind you of something you have done in the past. Or even maybe it's something you did yesterday. But the Bible says that we have an advocate. We have a high priest. This is a high priest whereby he didn't stand in his high place. He came and he took our place. There was an exchange. I'm not guilty anymore. I'm free. I'm perfect. God sees me through he sees Jesus as he sees me. So because of that, no condemnation. Nothing. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. So that way, I don't even need to live a hypocritical life. I can just be me. Why? Because it's Jesus who is doing all the work from within. He's doing it from within. So I can just be me. I don't have to follow the rules and regulations that human beings have impressed upon me. You know? So that way, I can walk in fellowship with God, and I can serve him, and I can honor him because I've been made righteous. Praise the Lord. So, you know, also, it also enables me so that I become very authentic. You know, I think it was last year's youth retreat, Chichi Okonkwo, she shared something that stayed with me. You know, she happened to live in a dorm when she was in college, and she was in a dorm of other college women who many of them were not born again, but they knew she was born again. So all eyes were on her. The same way you and I, you may not voice your faith, but you know what? All eyes are on you. The Bible says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, saved and unsaved. And you know what? The more you believe about the righteousness of God, the less burden you put on yourself to act right. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit working out of you. And is really the righteousness of God standing for you. So that way, you are not going to stand here and say, well, I mean, you're not going to have two double lives. You are living one life, just yielded to the Spirit of God. Praise God. So that way, there are no smoke screens. You are living authentically. Authentically means day in, day out. You acknowledge when you are wrong. Yes, I messed up, Father. I messed up. You confess your faults to one another. That's what the Bible says. But on the other hand, but you know what? I'm forgiven. It's forgiven. I mean, God has forgotten it. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he forgives our sins. So that way, I can now live in victory. And I can now serve God from a place of victory. Praise the Lord. So God has taken care of everything that will hold us back. And these are things that hold us back. Because sometimes, even after hearing the message of righteousness, sometimes it's difficult for us to accept it. But the sooner that we accept it, it's a free gift. So we accept it, we make it ours. The more, it's like now you're in your father's house. All the issues are resolved. There is nothing else anymore. There is there's no need for any condemnation. Nothing to hold you back. Praise the Lord. So when we accept that gifting of righteousness, then we can serve from a place of maturity as opposed to serving from a place of ignorance. And the interesting thing is that God will bring some people along our paths, along our individual paths that we can serve. Some of them, we're going to minister to them one-on-one. Some of them, they are people that all our responsibility is to just pray for them and to minister the word of life to them. But then, because we have the gift of righteousness, we always have a clear heart. There's no guilt unless you choose to bring that guilt onto yourself. Praise the Lord. And you know, the enemy will try to test how much of a gift you have received. Because, you know, sometimes there was a time where I kept having memories of something I did in the past that was bad. And one day I woke up questioning God. I said, God, now why? And it just so happened that I remembered the righteousness that Jesus made available to me. And I said to the devil, I said, devil, you know what? There's no issue anymore. I've been forgiven. It's forgotten. God has no memory of it. I now choose not to have any memory of it. Every time that thought comes, I say, no, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm free. I'm whole. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that is one of the very key ways that God has equipped us to serve. Another very important way that God has equipped us to serve is that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God himself. When Jesus was here, he was about to go to the cross. He told his disciples, he said, you know what? I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm not leaving you alone. The same way, God has not left you and I without being equipped. It's like the U.S. is about to send to a battalion of soldiers to war in Iraq. And no training, no weapons. They are praying for the devil now. They are praying for the enemy, actually. The same way God expects you and I to succeed in this Christian life that we're living. We're not supposed to live this Christian life. God does not expect us to fail. in this Christian life. He expects you and I to always get our prayers answered. He expects you and I to get to a place whereby we live in constant victory. So that way, we're not even living unto ourselves anymore. We're not depending day to day as to our own personal prayer requests. We now live a life that is focused on the outward. We focus on others. We take away from ourselves. We stop praying for ourselves all the time. We start praying for others. We start looking for ways in which we can improve the life of others. Praise the Lord. So that's what God has called you and I to. So let's go back to the Holy Spirit. Again, it's important that we understand the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was telling the Holy Spirit that, look, it's after I've gone that he will come. And he has come, right? I mean, he's here, exactly. He's here. I love that. Thank you. In John 14, 16 to 17, the Bible says, Jesus was saying here, can we have it in the Amplified? John 14, 16 to 17, in the Amplified. Let's read together. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to the 16. We'll come back to the other one. So, who is the Holy Spirit sent to comfort? Me, you and I. The Holy Spirit is sent to comfort us. Who is the Holy Spirit supposed to counsel? You and I. The Holy Spirit is supposed to, we are supposed to grow to that point whereby we know the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We know, we recognize it. We follow it. And again, that equips us to serve. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will lead us in the place that we ought to go. Praise the Lord. So think about the disciples. Jesus was telling them, look, after I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And now Jesus went to the cross and he died and he resurrected. And the Holy Spirit came. And the disciples, they had the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know what happened? They became totally different people. Think about Peter. Remember when Peter was very interesting. He went from somebody who was very timid and denying Christ. Remember, he denied that he ever knew Jesus. He denied him three times. To the person, think about Peter, the person denying Christ. To the person saying, at the man, you know, the man at the gates, at the beautiful gates, say, rise up and walk. What was the transformation? What was the difference? It was the work of the Holy Spirit. He accepted the work of the Holy Spirit. He accepted it as true. And he opened his heart to it. And he started to experience the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. My prayer is that for you and I, we will experience the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. So that way, we can function fully in the purpose that God purposed for us to function. Praise God. So we need, and really, that's why you and I need to keep learning. We can never get to a place where we fully understand the word of God. You know, sometimes the devil will convince you that, look, you've been going to church all these years, so you already know it now. Sometimes you would even sit listening to a sermon, and in your head, you'd be saying, I've heard that before, so what's the big deal? You know what? Hear it again and again and again. Why? Because the light switch, it gets brighter every day. The revelation of the word of God, our eyes keep getting opened every day. It's like you read a verse, you come back to it again, and then you have a different understanding. Why? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the more we are open to the work of the Holy Spirit, and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, then we understand the word of God even better, and we continue to grow and grow and grow. The Bible says, into that maturity, into the stature of the maturity of Christ Jesus. That is our ideal. That's who we're growing into. Think about it. We grow in areas of love. We grow in areas of faith. We start to exercise our faith enough so that our faith becomes, on a regular basis, our first solution as opposed to our last. That's what I desire, honestly. My desire is that I will get to a place where I'm able to stand on my faith and receive the answer rather than looking for all other options. Praise the Lord. That is what God has purposed for you and I. That is a successful life whereby You are walking in faith. You are walking in love. You are connected to God. You are connected to the Holy Spirit. You have His wisdom. He is comforting you. He is counseling you. He is helping you. He is strengthening you. He is standing by you. He is with us forever. And that is a living promise that we have. That is a living equipment that we have that we need to be conscious of. And we need to actually, I mean, if you're not there, tell God, God, this is what I desire. I want to experience the fullness of this Christian life. I don't want to live at half voltage. I want the full voltage. That's my prayer for myself and for all of us today. Praise the Lord. So now we see how God has equipped us. I've just talked about just two of the many ways in which God has equipped us. There are other ways in which God has equipped us. We have spiritual authority. Our pastor has been preaching on that. There is the power in the name of Jesus. There is the power in the blood of Jesus. There is the power of His word to overcome. I mean, the way it is, it's like God has taken care of everything we need for life and godliness. For us to succeed in this natural life, and for us to succeed spiritually, in this spiritual life, God expects us to always live as overcomers. Why? It's from a place of overcoming that you can serve without being selfish. You take your eyes off of yourself. You take your eyes off of your giftings because He's God. He's God now. It's all about Him. It's not about you anymore. It's not about your connections anymore. It's Him. It's His purpose. It's not about your eloquence anymore. Is His purpose. Praise the Lord. I mean, think about it. There are people in the world who are not born again, and yet they do good deeds, right? You see somebody giving $1 million, and people in the world will hail them and say they are wonderful. But you know what? God is looking for His own vessel, His own yielded vessel, whereby that is responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to do the work. That's who God is looking for. I mean, everybody might give, but you know what? That gift before God, there are gifts before God that are not the gift. That maybe are some. They don't represent something honorable. But the better gift that you can give to God is whereby you serve God, and based on the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you are able to serve others. Praise the Lord. So how then can we serve? How then? We serve out of love for God and for others, to point Jesus to the world. That's really why we do anything we do, is to point Jesus to the world. Think about it. If the church, look at the church floors. If these floors were not clean for weeks, you know, it would be tough for you and I to hear the sermon. We would be sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, this place is so dirty. You know, we'll be so distracted from everything else. It will be hard to even point people who are coming in for the first time. It will be hard to say, okay, come and receive salvation, because they probably have to walk over garbage to get up here. You know, it wouldn't be conducive. It will be hard to even encourage the people who are born again, you know. But the bottom line, though, is that when we serve, even if what we are doing is mundane, it could be as mundane as maybe just carrying these things off of the steps. The Bible is telling us that we do it out of love for Jesus. We do it out of love for others, you know. And that's what Jesus was saying. When Jesus was here, Jesus was saying, look, my heart is towards the people that are lost. My heart is towards the people that are in need of a physician. If you sing in the choir, it's because you sing to God. And we trust Him. Again, it's God who gave you the voice. It's God who anoints you to sing. Is God who makes you, who enables you to, for your heart to still be beating and you're healthy enough to come and sing? Is really God doing the work? So who are we to come and now try to share the glory? No, we can't share the glory. It's Him. It's His gift. So every time we serve, we step out of the way. We let God do the work. We don't try to impress anybody. We just worship Him out of it. If you're serving God and you're a Sunday school teacher, you teach as though God were in the audience right there. If you're a pastor, you're ministering the word of God, you minister as though God were listening. Why? Because everything we do is to please Him. If you are doing anything and you are no longer pleasing Him, you might as well just pack up, go home, and take a nap. Everything we do, He becomes the central reason for why we live. That's what we're singing this morning. We said the reason we live is to worship God. The reason we live is to bring him glory. The reason we do anything is to really exalt him. Even in your career, if you are a pharmacist today, the reason you are a pharmacist is to bring God glory. Praise the Lord. You serve God in that as well. So let's read another scripture. Let's go to Galatians 5, 13 to 14. Galatians 5, 13 to 14 in the Amplified. Galatians 5, do we have that up? Okay, let's read together. For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. Let's read verse 14. 14. For the whole law concerning human relationships is complied with in the one precept. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. Praise God. So the Bible is telling us to use our freedom to serve each other in love. You know, let's go back to that 13. It says something very interesting. You know, because that scripture in 13 is saying that if we're not careful, that's our freedom in Christ Jesus. It can be an incentive to just benefit ourselves, whereby we're focused on my needs going on in my life. And you know, sometimes the devil will do that, whereby because you have an ongoing situation that you are standing on the word for, the devil will hold you in that one area so that you are not able to be the full blessing that God has called you to be. But the word of God is telling us here that do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh. Everything, in fact, the reason why you are free is so that you can tell others that you are free. The reason why you are free is so that you can demonstrate your freedom to others. Praise the Lord. And that's why we are free. So if when we love people, we have an unselfish concern for them. Even in one-on-one relationships, you ask people, how are you doing? How is life with you? We don't use our words as weapons. We don't use our words to cut through people. Why? Because our freedom is not to benefit ourselves. It is to help others in love. Praise the Lord. You know, because even it should impact our prayer time, whereby you are praying. After a while, the prayer points that you are praying, it should start to change. Why? Because out of you, the love of God should be overflowing out of you. The love of God for you, for others around you. So let me tell you this thing I experience from time to time. So I commute in to work often. I commute into New York often. And a lot of times, I mean, if you're around train stations, bus stations, you see a lot of the reality of homelessness around us. And it has to affect you in one way or the other. It has to. Maybe you ignore it the first day, but the second day, it has to affect you. Why? Because much love has been expressed on your behalf. So something in you should start to hit you hard, even if all you can do is to pray. Take time to pray. There's a man that every time I would get down the train, because I would change trains, every time I would get down the train, I would see him in the corner in one of the stations and around us. I would see him in the corner just lying there. And after a while, I started to pray. I said, God, I cannot in good conscience walk away. God expects me to do something. So in good conscience, I take time to pray. And when I have the material means, I will give him something. But... And really, that's just an example of what God has called you and I to do. God has called you and I to function beyond ourselves. Every dime of money that comes into your hands is not just for you. You don't just use it for my bills, my children, my food, my this, my that, my dad. You have to open your heart beyond yourself to others. You have to. You cannot just come and say, well, that's their business. Let them take care of that. No. God has called us to a higher level of that. In fact, every good gift that God makes available to you, at some point, that good gift, it should be a seed that should go from your hand to the hand of somebody else, to the hand of somebody else, bringing glory to God. If it's missions, make sure it goes into that missions. If your heart, if where God is calling you to give is your time, maybe to volunteer at something, let your heart be there. Give it 100%. Don't hold back. Why? Because there are too much has been invested in you for you to sit in this church and not have an outflow. Jesus went to the cross. The Bible says we were bought with a price. So much has been invested for you, by God, for you and I. So we cannot live with our little old me. That vision has to expand. Amen. If that vision is limited, it is time for you and I to take our eyes off of ourselves and start to expand. Ask yourself, where can I serve? What can I do? In what way can I help? If it's missions program over here, go there, go to them. How can I help? Don't just say, look, it's their business. I'll just let it. No. God is calling you and I to much more. Praise the Lord. You don't even need to have a title. You don't need to have any. You don't even need anybody to call you. Just come and say, here I am. That's what really you say to God. Here am I, God. Send me. Send me. You know, every year when we go to the Foursquare Convention, I get very excited when they start announcing the ministers of God that are, I think they're missionaries, that have been with Foursquare for many years. So you see people, when they clap for them, I clap for them with my whole might, because I say to myself, what is the use of this life outside of living a life for Jesus? These people, they hold nothing to themselves. And for years and years, some of them from their 20s, declaring the word of God outside of countries that, you know, outside of their own home, outside of what they are used to, and taking enormous risk. So when I see people honoring God and they're 80 and they're 90, I want to learn from them. I want to learn from them. I want to understand what is driving them. I want to be inspired by their love for Jesus, because it's only love that can compel somebody to give their life for somebody else. It's only love. I mean, think about it. I mean, when I was in high school, that's when the word of maybe not around that time. Well, when I was in high school, we were just doing conventional church, you know, no dependence on the word of God. It was just on human wisdom. All of a sudden, one lady, she came to do like her, you know, lower six and upper six. She came to do that. And she was so full of the word of God that before you know it, she affected that fellowship of 100 of us. That before you know it, all of us started getting born again. Just with this girl was probably like 15, 16. Whereby she understood enough of the word of God to challenge the new environment in which she was. And from there, many of us started getting born again, and we started making decisions. In fact, that's how I got born again. Because one teenager came back and revitalized a whole fellowship. Praise the Lord. That is the expectation that God has for you and I. But we need to grow. Rise up into the place. Rise up filled with the word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, understanding who you are in Jesus, so that you can function in the full way that God purposed for us to function. Praise the Lord. That's God's expectation for us. So that way, our freedom, it should benefit others. It should not just benefit ourselves. Praise the Lord. Since David came into our lives, it's been such a blessing. You know, so sometimes during the praise and worship, I just don't want him running around. So I will sit in that room. There's one sister that very quietly, she doesn't announce herself. She will come, she'll change the garbage, she'll change this, she'll change that. You know, she did that the first Sunday. I looked at her, I said, okay, thank you. But she did that several times that Sunday, Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. That one day, even my husband had to say, you are, and she does it with love. No complaining, nobody. You don't see Pastor Kemi looking for her. Oh yeah, I'll come and do this. No. She will do it. Why? Because she has just surrendered herself, whereby the effort is not even hers anymore. And then one day, I didn't even discuss it with my husband, but my husband noticed, and he called and he said, sister, I won't tell you her name. His sister, so. God will bless you because she's so selfless in it. She's so selfless and so full of love that, I mean, I just said to myself, if there could be 100 of these women, of this particular woman in every ministry, oh my God. You know, she was not looking to get any praise. She was not looking to, in fact, we were talking to her and she was embarrassed. You know, because we were telling her, you know, keep doing what you're doing. She was embarrassed because she was serving God with that quiet, humble spirit. That's the way God expects us to serve. Whereby you serve with love, moved by compassion. Be moved by compassion. Of course, God has not sent you and I to meet every need. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to discern, yes, this is an open door for me to help. This is how I help. Or sometimes all you can do is surrender prayer, like I said, from a distance. Sometimes you can really get your hands dirty and get in there. And that's where we need the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that we follow His voice, we follow His purpose, so that we're not just meeting our own need. Because, you know, we could get into a place where we want to serve so that we can be recognized. You know? And it's a hidden motive. It's not clear to all, but the God of heaven sees it. And He sees this to be a gift, really. He sees this to be what God is doing through us. It's just what we are now machine. You're not trying to be a machine. I want to collect praise. So whatever I have to do, I have to make sure I do it. Make sure certain people see me. Praise the Lord. I mean, I thank God because God is really, it's a blessing to really be to have grown up in this church. I feel like we were little children when we came and we're still growing by the grace of God, you know? So because of that, my appreciation towards serving, the way I see it, I say is fundamental to life. I don't know, there are some of us that are not in ministries over here. You need to ask yourself before you leave, why am I not serving? Too much has been deposited in me. And then you come to a church like this whereby the word is really living and active and overflowing. So it's not because you had no help. It's not because you didn't understand. In fact, too much understanding. Too much has been given to you and I. And responsibility comes when a lot is given. Responsibility comes. Let's rise up and function. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's read 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. Let's read New Living Translation. First Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Praise the Lord. I'll read, I think this is the Amplified. It says, each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in His various forms. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. This is verse 10. Employ it in, this is another version. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the Bible is telling us there that as we serve, we are really administering the grace of God in its various forms. That sister, as she served in that children's ministry, she was administering the grace of God. I saw the grace of God in action. Because she was doing it, it seemed like a mundane task, but she was doing it with all her heart. In fact, I was inspired. And she was doing it faithfully. And she was doing it without anybody pushing her. And she was doing it with the love for God and for His children. Praise God. So the same way, you and I, we're given certain gifts so that we can bless others. And we have to be faithful in doing that. Since God made us unique, we really don't need to compare ourselves with other people. And we don't need to copy what other people are doing. God has a vision, individual vision for you and I. We are all different, but the bottom line is that we have our gifts, identify them, and do something with them. Some people are very personable. You know, they're very good at breaking the ice. Join the follow-up team now. Be a part of that. You're very friendly. Don't let your friendliness benefit only you. Pour that friendliness into a ministry. Pour it into missions. Pour it into evangelism. Pour it into the choir. Yeah, there are voices we need to hear. There are voices we need to hear that are not, maybe, oh, I just don't want, oh, my schedule. Let that schedule work. You can use that excuse in the first year. But after a while, come on now, it starts getting old. It starts getting old now. You know, and God is waiting on us. God is waiting on us. People are waiting on us. In fact, the Bible says that Creation is waiting on us with groaning, waiting. Why? Because there are deposits that God has planted in his body that need to come forth. Praise the Lord. So it's important also for us to continually resist that. I talked about comparison now. It's something that we need to resist over and over again. If you decide to compare yourself against somebody, you will find somebody doing a better job. Or sometimes you'll find somebody doing a worse off job. But then sometimes the door of pride, you're going to open the door of pride. So, but really, ultimately, our goal is to please God. Our goal is to honor God. And it is not a rat race whereby you are looking for opportunity to show yourself better than others. You know, if you think about this parable that Jesus shared, whereby there were workers, some people came at 9 o'clock, some people came at 12 o'clock, some people came at 5 o'clock. You know, from the eyes of man, is the people at 5 o'clock, the people who came at 5, they should get the least pay, right? But Jesus is telling us, look, that's not the way I see it. He's saying that, look, considering that God is the one doing it, and he's the one helping us, and we are vessels within which he does it, is up to him what he chooses to administer as pay. It's not up to us to question, why should she be a head of departments, not me? No, it's not up to you. It's the Spirit of God doing the work. You have to trust that the Spirit of God is alive and well and working in his body. So because of that, we need to leave some things alone. Just do the work. Focus on the work. Don't focus on, when she did it the last time, they didn't even say thank you. Is it the thanks from human beings that you're looking for? No. In fact, the thanks from God is. I'm still so awed by that sister. Because I was telling my husband, I said, the thank you that she's getting from God, she doesn't even realize that there are doors that are opening for her because of that little thing that she's doing in quiet, in secret. Not comparing herself to anybody. Not looking, I am done, or do you see the work? She's not looking for any thanks from anybody. She's doing the work. And that's what gets God's attention. Praise the Lord. So God made us different so that when we contribute, all of us, we complement one another. We do his work and he alone gets the glory. So even if we, whatever we do, like I was saying, he's the best rewarder. We just have to be diligent, skillful, and faithful in doing it, you know. And we just serve God. The way we serve God is by serving people. That's the thing. That's the example that Jesus put forth for us. Even Jesus was saying in Matthew 20, 28, he says that just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, he did not come to be served. Some of us are waiting to be served. And those of you should bring food to me. No. Remember we said that heart that has received the freedom of Jesus, you go looking for how you can serve. Praise the Lord. And really, the Bible says in Luke 22, 27, the person who is sitting at the table and the person who is serving, which one of them is greater now? Is the person who is serving, is the person who is not counting it anything to get the job done. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes too, like I was saying, sometimes we say to ourselves, I have X problem, I have this problem. Until then, I can't serve anybody. I'm not perfect. I'm not fully equipped. But the bottom line is that a lot of times our experiences will make us sensitive to certain needs. And because of that, we become in the best place to serve. I had another conversation with a brother. That brother is dealing with the fact that he doesn't have any papers, you know, in this country. You and I both know that can be very tough on a day-to-day basis. In fact, that can be very tough. But this brother, I so respect him because he doesn't feel sorry for himself. Why? Because he has what the Bible calls a fearless confidence. You know, when you're fearless about something, you're not afraid of it anymore. Why? Because that fear is not a self-induced one. Because you believe that God will protect you. And you believe that God will provide for you. So because of it, this brother is able to serve other people in that situation without fear. He takes his eyes off from his living, you know, that situation is still there. But he's able to love on other people. And because he understands the language they're expressing to him. So he's the best person to respond. So, I mean, and again, I told this brother, I said, you know, it may look to you that you are just helping somebody. Trust me, this is ministry right here. That's what I told that brother. I said, this is ministry, loving people. Loving people, forgetting yourself, and loving them enough to bring them into the kingdom. Loving them enough to make sure that you didn't say, brother, all is well. You know, you could say that. You could say, well, I'm dealing with my own issues. So everybody, face your life. You understand? But he's loving this brother enough. He's loving other people enough to bring them in. Say, come and hear the word of God. Let the word of God comfort you. It's the word of God that is keeping me that can keep you too. That's what real service is. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, when I encounter people like that, I get very, very encouraged, because it means that there's growth. He grew from being miserable about his situation to where he took his eyes off of his situation and he fixed it on the word. And now that he fixed it on the word, he has this fearless confidence. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:35. It says, don't cast away your fearless confidence. So he carries that fearless confidence with him all the time. He's not afraid for his own future. Why? Because he's standing on the word of God. And because of that, he can serve freely. Praise the Lord. So the word of God is telling us, to whom much has been given, much is expected. Has much been given you and I? What has been given to us? Number one, your salvation was given to us. What else have we talked about today that has been given to us? The gift of righteousness. What else has been given to us? The Holy Spirit. What else has been given to us? The name of Jesus. The authority in the life of a believer. You know, a sister called me and said, oh, I'm so afraid. You know, I keep dreaming about the same thing over and over again. And I said to her, much has been given to you. I say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes all you can do is to serve people just by sharing a scripture. And, the Bible says we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So sometimes you will be the person to come to me and tell me, sometimes when I'm down, I talk to my husband, I'm not going to say, come on, now you have to remember this teaching that pastor taught now. Did you forget this scripture that the greater one is in you? That God has already made you to overcome? By the time I get off of that phone call, I say to myself, now I'm having my fearless confidence back. I'm having my fearless confidence back. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. And so that's what God has planted us in the body, especially in the household of faith. As one of us is falling, the other person should be there to carry him up, and we keep running the race, leaving nobody behind. We leave nobody behind because every one of us is precious and loved in the eyes of God. And because we love God, we love one another. So no matter what, no matter how bad that person might be, no matter what mistakes they make on a daily basis, know that the same mercy that's available to you every morning is available to them as well. So you get rid of whatever is stopping whatever is the limitation between you. You carry that brother, and all of us, we keep running. We keep running. We keep trying to see ourselves the same way that God sees us. God sees us through the eyes of Jesus, right? Forgiven and whole. So every day that you get tempted to see that brother or that sister in the eyes of their past, go and borrow the sunglasses of God's word. That will change that circumstance. You will see that child of God for who he or she is as that child of God. And that child of God too, he or she can now have a fearless confidence now. You know, because if you keep thinking, oh, this is the way they see me, you will limit yourself. You will keep yourself in the background. Do you understand? I learned that from our pastor. You know, I thank God for our pastor. He's, to God be the glory, honestly. To God be the glory. Because, you know, there are times that I will call pastor. I say, pastor, you know, I don't think I can do this. I'll give an example. I'm standing here ministering. I want to serve quietly like that sister. You know? But God has other plans. But you know what I realized? Apostle, remind me, no. You know, God is within you now. It's not you doing it. So you can do it. So just that word of encouragement. I start to walk better. I start to stand up straighter. Do you understand? I'm not afraid anymore because it's not up to me. The greater one is in me doing it. It is not me. I don't live for myself anymore. I don't serve for myself anymore. It's all about me. It's all about Jesus. So if I make mistake, it's all about Jesus. So if I succeed, it's all about Jesus. Do you understand? Even if I stumble, I will reset and start all over again. Why? Because it's not about me. My arms are too weak to help me. His arms are stronger. His arms are stronger. He can help me. He knows my limitations. He knows my fears. So he's taking care of me. I'm not perfect yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Praise the Lord. So that's what God has called us. That's what God has called us to. You receive the word of God, inflow of the word of God, outflow of ministry. Your ministry to the people in this church, to the people you encounter, to the people in your family. Your ministry, the Bible, I read an article 1 year that said, in the course of our life, we will come across 3,000 people. 3,000 people that we could share the word of God with. If you have a friend and the opportunity has not come to share the word of God, start praying for that opportunity. Start praying because I personally believe that there are no mistakes. When people come into your life, it's for a reason. And they should not live your life the same way that they came. So there has to be an effect. They're either going to affect you or you are going to affect them. But the greater one is in you. So we should be the ones affecting them. Amen. They should not be the ones influencing us. You know? So because of that, much responsibility is given to us, child of God. We are the anointed word of God. The same spirit that was in Jesus is in us. That same spirit, he brought the dead to life. He makes us operate ahead. And not, we don't operate like other people in this world. But the sooner we wake up to that responsibility, the better off we will be and the more glory to God. Praise the Lord. So think about it. If we think about the story of the Samaritan man. You know the Samaritan man, because in the story whereby the other man was beaten up. And it was the good Samaritan that stopped by to tend to him. Meanwhile, the priest passed by, the Levite passed by. They were the ones that the expectation would be that they would have taken care of him. But they passed by. Nobody was there now watching. There was no recognition to be had. But the good Samaritan, he stopped by and he tended to the man's wounds. The Bible is telling us that, look, the person who pleases God is not the person who knows what is right. It is the person who does what is right. It is in your doing that is the key. You could know from here to the end, but it is in your actions that you show the trail for excellence, or you show the trail for, well, I'm just going to do it because that's what they asked me to do. Praise the Lord. So it's in our actions. And you know, if we go back to that scripture we read at the beginning, our faith, our deeds, our faith plus deeds, that is what makes things powerful. Praise the Lord. So whenever we see a need really in front of us and we're guided by the Holy Spirit, God is giving us opportunities to serve and to love on people. You know, God has called us to love. That love should just overflow out of our hearts. You know, when people come to me and say, it's so difficult for me to forgive, I say to them, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts now. So there are no limitations. You are not lacking for love. You are not lacking for the gift of righteousness. Your past is forgiven. What is holding you? Nothing. Nothing is holding you. So every opportunity that we have to serve, we are doing the good works that God had in mind for us to do. And there are no unimportant acts of service. Even sweet, look at our sister that came to share the word. All she was doing was cleaning the church. And God decided, you know what? This is the time where I want to use her. I'm going to use her. And that's what he did. That is what he did. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, anyone who gives even a cup of water in the name of Christ, because you belong to Christ, he will not lose his reward. If there is reward in a simple cup of water, how much more for taking care of each other? You know, that's what God is saying. So even if you sweep the church, if you give somebody a ride, if you just simply smile to somebody, God sees your effort as a sacrifice. And God honors sacrifice. A few years ago, I think it was a very bad snowstorm. And the church, of course, it was full of snow. And one of the brothers, at that time, he was even new to the church. He just showed up. And he just decided to come down to the church on his own, and he cleared the snow. He did it without expectation of payments. You know, I don't know, Pastor, if you remember that brother. I think Brother Lim.
Yeah.
Sim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Brother Sim. And he did it. He did it without, he wasn't expecting any thank you. But he did it because that need was there. How many needs are we looking away from? You know, let's ask ourselves that. Praise the Lord. So finally, and I am running a little bit ahead of time. God expects us to, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, I will read. It says, therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're to be faithful in everything that God has called us to. Big jobs, small jobs. So it's important that we ask ourselves, am I being faithful to the work that God has called us to? It's important we remind ourselves, it is for God we're doing anything that we do. Sometimes we forget and we put God in the background. And it becomes all about the people we're dealing with. Do you understand? So when we sign up for something, it's important that we honor God and do our best to do it. If you sign up that I will bring this can of water to church, do everything that you can to get it done. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Know what you can handle. Do not overcommit yourself. Because sometimes too, in serving, we get carried away. We get carried away. We start overcommitting ourselves. Life is short. So whatever you need to do, do it now. In this your generation, that you are alive, and you are well, and you are healthy, do it now. Some people will say, well, my schedule is so busy now, so maybe later. Do it now. That's what God is telling us. You know, David, Bible says in Acts 13, when he had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. His work was done. His work was done. Even the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus gave me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. This is a reminder this morning for you and I, that God will help us to get to that place whereby our life is worth nothing to us, so that our number one purpose will be to finish the race and the task that the Lord Jesus gave us, so that we can do the work of testifying to the gospel of his grace through serving people. Praise the Lord. So in conclusion, there are many people here that need our love, yours and mine. There are people every week that need our care and our concern. And there are many ministries within this church, over 26 of them, that are looking for faithful people. People who will show up when it's time to meet. People who will pray when we say, let us pray. People who will show up and they will say, look, I'm here, I'm committed, I'm loyal. God, the call is for us and is a reminder for us that we are called to serve. We are called to not just live a life that is satisfied with pleasing ourselves, but is seeking to please others and to please the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray.
Wow. You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.